Malka?
Hi, Malka. I
Hey,
just got
how
on
are
too.
you? How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm fine. I never have felt bad. This was
Got your
horse, you
horse
know.
back?
Well, pretty much.
Good. Great.
I never had fever. I never had a runny nose. So I don't know. Just, you know, like I said, it was a test. So.
Right.
I sure did get a lot of good, oh gosh, what would you call them? Revelations, anyway, a week. So it's a good thing.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
We're fine.
Give me a second because we have a physical class going here as well.
Brandela.
Good evening. We're about to start.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Okay. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa Gedula Chemincha Tati Alaka Gimel Yud Pas Tadi. Chabe Runat Amcha Sadenu Tafarenu No Ra Kufay Shayan Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dor Sheyechud Cha Yivavat Sham Reim Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Tav Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sidkatcha Tamid Gam Leim Bet Tetrei Zadi Tav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Virov Tuvcha Nael Adata Tet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan. The letters of the month of Iyar, the Pei that created the planet Venus, the planet Noga, and the Vav that created the constellation Shor, which is the bull, the astrological sign of Taurus. Together, the Pei and the Vav have a gematria of 86, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word for God, Elohim, as well as the Hebrew word for nature, Ateva. Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimelamet Ezayim Kuf Shavatenu Kadol Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Adi Yutra. Please scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. There are no Tzaddikim who left this day, so we utilize that opportunity to connect to the Tzaddikim that we don't know which day they chose to leave. And while we brought creation into our space, we will separate the right column energy from the left column energy by utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yehovah. Adonai Yehovah. El Rachum Bechanun. Eretz Apayim. Berav Chesed Be'emet. Notze Chesed La'alafim. Notze Awon Wafesha. Bechata'a V'nake. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper. I'm reading a verse from the Parasha of Noach. It's from section 24, verse 178, and we'll start with a L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Te Bit Hilu Hirchimud Hilud Hilur Hilu L'Yachda L'Shem Yud He Bevav He V'yitudah Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Adenu Konanei Aleinu Maasei Adenu Konanehu Haka Yitranis Le'inun Kadishe El Yonin Leminda Viraza Diatvan Kadishin Ilain Kipuka Diatvan Kaf bet leit mehe lei nun chaya vaya Vial davi mahu min haaretz Uktiv bo ata v'kol beitcha. Here we find a hint to the of the secret of the holy supernal letters, reserved for the holy supernal men to learn and to know. The reverse order of the 22 Hebrew letters can bring the destruction of the wicked, and this is why it is written, they were erased from the earth. And come you and all your house into the ark. Does anybody have any questions? Tonight's class is Advanced Reincarnation. This is going to be, I believe it's class 8C. It will open up to chapter 6, section 4. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, row 11. The second column from the left, that opens up a landing page for all of the classes on Advanced Reincarnation. Scroll down to Class 8C, I believe it is. And it will open up to where it says 8 levels of repentance. And this section is as normal, a translation from the writings of the Ari, the teachings of the Ari called Sha'ar HaGilgulim, the gates of reincarnation. Okay. Now we will explain the individual types of teshuvah that a person must perform, and through them you will understand a little of this analysis. In this section, the Rav is continuing the discourse that he began in the beginning of the chapter. The souls that were created from the unification of back-to-back are destined to return, to ascend, and to be reborn in the unification of face to face. In order for this to happen, 8 levels of teshuvah must be attained. There are 8 divisions of teshuvah. Each specific place in the soul body of Adam contains the roots of all the 4 worlds of Asiyah, Briah, Yetzirah, and Atzilut. This is the worlds of action, the world of formation, the world of creation, and the world of emanation. The teshuvah discussed here concerns the rectification of damage that was done by sin in the roots of the souls, in the soul body of Adam. The higher one's soul root, the greater the damage his sin will cause. First of all, if a person has a nefesh, the lowest level of soul, from the world of Asiyah, the world of action, and he sins, he causes a separation of the world of Yetzirah, which is the world of formation, from that of Asiyah, from the world of action. In the specific place from which the root of his soul is suspended, this person's teshuvah would reunite the world of action with the world of formation on the level of the root of his nefesh. Similarly, if someone who has ruach from Yetzirah sins, he will need to rejoin Yetzirah to Briah, formation to creation, on the level of his root. Likewise, someone who has a neshama from Briah must reunite Briah to Atzilot, which is creation, to emanation. These are the 3 levels of teshuvah from the lower worlds of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. There are 5 higher levels of teshuvah in the world of Atzilut itself. The first is to cause the return of Malchut of Atzilut to its place, which is below the Yesod in the specific level of his soul root, as we discussed. Please hold on a second. I'm continuing. The information being described by the Rav here corresponds to an important introductory lesson in the Etz Chaim, the book of the Tree of Life, which is one of the books that Rabbi Chaim Vital wrote containing the teachings of the Ari. The palace of the consort of Zeranpin, and especially the gate of the moon's diminution, concerning the tikkun of Malchut of Atzilut. In each successive stage of tikkun, she ascends through Atzilut until she reaches the stage of the unification of face-to-face with Zeranpin. In the first stage, her starting point in Atzilut, she is below the Yesod of Zeranpin. And this is before she is a partsuf, when she is only a point. The second stage is to return her to a higher place, which is nun. I'm not recognizing this. It's which is Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. The place from which she emanated, as is known. Netzach, Hod, and Yesod is the acronym for the Sefirot of Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. At first, the Nukva of Zeranpin is a point under the Yesod of Zeranpin. When she begins to grow, she becomes a full partsuf from the back of the chest of Zeranpin, extending downward to the end of his feet on the floor of Atzilut. This is where Zeranpin and Nukva are connected back to back, and she receives all her light from him. Then she begins to receive light that is imparted to her. The chest of Zeranpin is above Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, often described as being located two-thirds of the way up Tiferet. But sometimes the Rav will designate it as Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. When she is only a point below Yesod, she has not yet begun any tikkun at all. When she begins to get tikkun, then she begins to receive light that is imparted to her from Zeranpin. And this light is transmitted to her from a point that is in the back of the chest of Zeranpin. Therefore, this point, which the Rav is calling Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, is called the point from which she has emerged. And so it is known throughout the Kabbalah. The third stage returns her to a yet higher level, to the Chesed Gevura Tiferet level. Chesed Gevura Tiferet denotes the Sefirot of Chesed Gevura and Tiferet. She is still in the back of Zeranpin, although she has probably reached the apogee of her growth there. Although this point is also not exactly equivalent to Chesed Gevura Tiferet of Zeranpin, but is a bit higher. This is just before the Nesira, which is discussed in the end of chapter 2, or section 2 of this chapter. And if you'll remember, the Nesira is also has the idea of dormita, of going to sleep. The fourth stage is to cause her to return to a higher level, to Chesed to a higher level, to Chachma, Bina, and Dat, which are the three mochin, the three brains of Zeranpin. Chachma, Bina, and Dat refers to the three sephirot, Chachma, Bina, and Dat. These are the mochin, or the brains of the partsuf, as one might surmise from the translations of these terms. Chachma is wisdom, Bina is understanding, and Dat is knowledge. Probably, the Rav is referring here to the stage where the Nukva is face to face with Zeranpin, nearly equal in stature to him, and just before unification. At this stage, the Keter of Zeranpin is still higher than the Keter of the Nukva, and she is receiving her light from him. It is referred to by the nomenclature Chachma, Bina, and Dat, because that term indicates the internal aspect or the front face of the partsuf. And it is appropriate here because they are face to face. These four elevations are all within the level of Zeranpin. There is a fifth teshuvah, more essential and elevated than the rest of them, and that is to elevate it, the Malchut of Atzilut, to the level of Abba and Ima. This is the level where the unification of face-to-face takes place. Her Keter is now equivalent to the Keter of Zeranpin. They receive their levels of Keter directly from Abba and Ima. Indeed, their levels of Keter were once part of the bodies of Abba and Ima. Therefore, it is appropriate to call this the level of Abba and Ima. Also, the Nukva will now receive her light directly from Ima, without any intermediary. This level is alluded to in the Sefer HaTikkunim, the Tikkuni Zohar, and it is called the eighth level, because Ima, Bina, is the eighth from below to above. Normally, Bina is called the eighth because it is the eighth Sephirah counting from below to above. Here also, it is the eighth level of Teshuvah. I have written a commentary that I think that the abbreviations, which I have basically not alluded to but said outright, is confusing. So I'm writing out these abbreviations. Zeronpin is a full part suf of 10 Sephirot. The Nukva is a single point. They are back to back, with the Nukva being below the level of the spinal column of Zeronpin. Zeronpin is feeding the Nukva directly, and she grows to become the level of the last third of the Sephirot. And this is called Yesod, Chod, and Netzach. They are still back to back. Zeronpin is continuing to feed the Nukva, and she continues to grow to become the middle third, which is Tiferet, Givurah, and Chesed. They are still back to back, although there are now is the beginning of two different spines. The fourth stage, also called the first stage of Atzilut, Zeronpin is continuing to feed the Nukva directly. She grows to the level of a full partsuf to include Bina, Chachma, and Keter. They are still back to back. The fifth stage, also called the second stage of Atzilut, Zeronpin is still feeding her, and she continues to grow, moving back to her original location of the Yesod, Hod, and Netzach of Zeronpin. They are still back to back. The sixth stage, also called the third stage of Atzilut, Zeronpin is still feeding her. There are now two complete spines, with the Malchut being slightly above Zeronpin. She has grown the levels of Tiferet, Gevura, and Chesed of Zeronpin. They are still back-to-back, although this is the point of the Nasira, the separation, which requires that the male, Zeronpin, goes to sleep. And this was explained in Section 2. The seventh stage, also called the fourth stage of Atzilut, and they move to be face-to-face, while she continues to grow her mochin, her brains, which are the three upper levels of the Sephirot, which is Bina, Chachma, and Dat. The eighth stage, also called the fifth stage of Atzilut, they are face to face. In this stage, she grows a Keter, and this Keter rises to the same level as Zeronpin. The Nukva begins to receive directly from the level of Bina, from the level of Mother. That's the end of the section. Are there questions? And I don't expect, and you shouldn't expect to understand what I read, because this is your first class, and but it's essentially the language of Kabbalah is about the language of the Sephirot. And the quick way to understand the Sephirot, and this is very quick, is that there are 10 levels of consciousness that take the light of the infinite light of God and bring it to a level that can exist in our physical world. It gets transformed level by level, transformation by transformation, from the infinite level of light to a level of light that can be received in the physical world without causing the destruction of the physical world. That's what's being described here And what it's saying is when someone sins, they revert to this level of male and female, and they have to do teshuvah to grow back to the level before the sin. And the sin that is being talked about is the sin of Adam and Eve. Are there any questions on the conference call?
Hello, this is Malka. Yes. It sounds like a woman's pregnancy. Yeah, you know, the growing of the fetus, you know, and being, you know, fed by the mother. But, you know, and like a biblical court, the upper levels. It's kind of how I was visualizing it to understand it.
That's a good perception. There is some truth to that. But you have to understand that the fetus is not back to back to the woman. There's a different relationship. What we are talking about was when Adam and Eve were created. They were created with Adam being the external and Eve being the internal. And as I've said in a number of classes, that's why we don't have eyes in the back of our head, because if your relationship with your spouse is correct, your spouse is going to be looking in the behind you so that they will see what's coming from your back. And the same thing applies to the female, because the male is seeing to her back. But you have to visualize these two spines are connected. But the way the internal is grown is it first has the external, and then the internal is just a point, just an essence. And then that internal starts being fed light from the external. And as it gets fed additional light and more light and more light, it grows its own 10 sephirot. And as it grows, it's always back to back until it reaches a point where it can receive its upper 3 sephirot. And it is the woman is essentially taller than the man, meaning larger, and they have to be separated so that the woman can be face-to-face to the man. And that is the only way that zivug, intercourse, is supposed to take place. And this is the process of restoring Adam and Eve to before the sin, which is one of the tasks that mankind has to do. But we have split that task into 7 billion human beings, plus all of the previous generations. So that task has been split into very small aggregates. If I were speaking in the language of the computers, I would say it had been parsed into different packets of energy. And each human being has a packet of energy that is their responsibility to fix, to make tikkun for. Because each one of those 7 billion people were participating in the sin. Because every human soul was in Adam and Eve before the sin. So I hope that helps to clarify a little bit. Your perception, Malka, is still valid. I'm just giving you some additional insight.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Are there any other questions? Let's go on to the next section, which is called the hidden effect of sin. It is important to know that the impact of one's sin is dependent upon the level of his soul. Thus, someone whose nefesh is from the malchut of Atzilut will cause a blemish in that level and to his soul root in that level. This is the case for the rest of the levels as well. So when you do a sin, what you're damaging is where your consciousness is, where your soul level is. However, if a person in a previous incarnation had a nefesh and a ruach from Asiyah and Yetzirah, and then sinned and blemished his ruach, this would necessitate reincarnation into a second person. Even if only the nefesh returned into this second person, when he sins, he blemishes the level of Yetzirah, the level of formation, as if he had also received the level of Ruach. In his previous Gilgul, his previous incarnation, he blemished both Nefesh and Ruach. Only Nefesh reincarnates. Nevertheless, if he sins in the new Gilgul, it will also blemish Yetzirah, as if he had also received the Ruach. Because he had Ruach in a previous incarnation, he can blemish it again in his current incarnation, even though he currently only has the level of Nefesh. Also, when he, the second person, wants to do Teshuvah, he must perform a tikkun as if he had blemished both the Nefesh and the Ruach. He only has a blemished nefesh, but he must repair the damage as if he had both the nefesh and the ruach, even though a blemished nefesh and ruach cannot reincarnate together. What that is implying is that you have a longer process, and that's why the exile is continuing so long. One of the reasons. Also, regarding Teshuvah, it is necessary to know the manner of one's reincarnation, which we will briefly explain now based upon what we have discussed in another place. This is a continuation of the subject of Teshuvah, which was discussed in the last section. Suppose that a person, for example, reincarnated 20 to 30 times beforehand. He will need to know if the first ones had Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama from Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, and if he blemished them. If that is the case, then all of the subsequent 30, even if the Nefesh alone entered each one, will have to rectify as if they blemished all three levels of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. Since the first one that preceded all of them was a nefesh that received light from the neshama of Bria. Thus, to complete his teshuvah, he will have to return the light that it, his soul, had in the beginning. Although nefesh only is reincarnating in the current incarnation, he must rectify all three levels of the soul. This is because all three levels of the soul were blemished together in the first Gilgulim, the first incarnation. And the reason for this is that the nefesh receives light from the higher levels when they reincarnated together. Rectification of the nefesh includes rectification of the higher lights that had become part of her existence, and those higher lights belong to Ruach and to Neshama. Furthermore, this phenomena has very important implications for some of the things that we observe in this world. This is the esoteric meaning of the verse, for she has taken from the hand of God double for all her sins. One cannot grasp such matters, but he must trust that all God does is righteous. Sometimes a person will commit a relatively light sin, but they will be very strict and very exacting with him, punishing him as if he committed a severe sin twice, which is what he has done. Thus, one cannot fully fathom the ways of God when he sees someone experiencing this. One cannot grasp such matters, but he must trust that all God does is righteous and with justice. It may seem to us that he is getting a double punishment, something completely disproportionate relative to the sin, but it is because he is being punished for the blemishes caused by his sin in the higher worlds of Yetzirah and Bria, formation and creation, as well. When one who does not have this special knowledge about the roots of Gilgulim, he sees a case of retribution that is apparently inordinate relative to the sin, and he may begin to doubt God, and God forbid, the justice of the divine system of reward and punishment, or cause and effect is the way the Kabbalah refers to it. Therefore, he must trust that all God does is righteous and with justice. However, suppose from the first incarnation through the ninth of the 30 that we discussed as an example, he only merited a nefesh and a ruach. But for the 10th, he merited a neshama. He then sinned and blemished it. Any sins that resulted during the first 9 blemished the ruach, and even more so the nefesh. However, regarding the 10th and all those after it through the 30th, the blemish and the tikkun will also affect the neshama. Based upon this, you should be able to figure out any other example or any other case. Thus, we find that a person cannot do complete teshuvah as it should be done until he knows his soul root and the levels of Gilgulim of his soul that preceded him. The Zohar, when discussing the verse, "Tell me, you whom my soul loves," a verse from Song of Songs, is adamant about this. It discusses there at length that a person needs to know the identity of his soul, why it has come into this world, and what it needs to rectify. Obviously, this requires knowledge beyond the normal. My commentary. Later in these classes, we will discuss techniques for finding out about your soul root and other information needed to complete your individual tikkun, your individual correction. And that is the end of the section, the end of the chapter. Does anyone have any questions?
That is a lot.
It's a lot, yes, but it really isn't a lot, because you will later find out that you just need to know what happened in your last lifetime.
Correct.
Because your last lifetime is a mirror image of the lifetime before that, and the lifetime before that. So in order to do teshuvah, there's this current lifetime is a mirror image of any of the mistakes that you made in the last lifetime. So when you correct what you did in the last lifetime, you correct all of the previous lifetimes with that same mistake. So the Ari is saying here that we need to know this information, and then later he explains that you really only need to know this last lifetime. But you need to understand this idea that when you see someone who does what we consider something minor, and they have severe life experiences, really painful life experiences, and we look at it and we say, this person didn't do this. And when we ask the person, and he's being honest, this is what I did, and this is why I'm having this experience. And we don't understand the relationship. How can it be? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem to us to be just. So we need to hear this so that we realize when that happens, we always have to know, and you're not going to accept this on the first time I say it to you, but we always have to know that this world, at this instant, is absolutely perfect. But what does that mean? We know there's pain, we know there's suffering. It can't be perfect. But for this instant, that's what each person is experiencing, what they need to experience. We don't understand why they need to experience it. We don't understand why I need to experience what I am experiencing. But we need to have this level of certainty that the world is perfect. And it comes from a statement, if Hashem is perfect, then anything he creates is perfect. And Hashem didn't create just one creation. He creates the creation over and over again every instant. There's a new creation based on what you corrected, based on what your situation is, based on which movie you have migrated into. It's perfect for what you need to experience. So, are there any other questions?
So, you get an insight into the previous last life. The person doesn't know who they were in that previous life.
That's true, and it's not true. The question is, how does one know what mistakes they made in their last lifetime?
Uh-huh.
So there are some simple ways to know, which has to do with your north and south node in your astrological chart. Because that explains to you in a general sense what did you do in your last life and what you need to correct or what life lessons you need to learn in this life. On another level, every person has energy verses, which are your soul is a level of energy, a picture of many levels of energy. The verses that have that same levels of energy are called energy verses. And you can find out what those are on the Yeshem website. And then when you do a Kabbalistic analysis of those verses, it's really telling you what needs to be corrected and how to correct it. And everything is there. But it's not as easy to look at yourself that honestly. So people don't do it. But the tools are there. There's nothing, God didn't put us in this world and said, go play, and I'm not going to tell you what the rules of the game are. Everything is available to us. All you have to do is be honest with yourself. What is the honesty with yourself? You're not a good person. And I'm not saying that about you or you. I'm saying it about me. I'm not a good person. I admit I'm not a good person. I admit I have made mistakes, and I want to correct those mistakes. And I asked Hashem daily to help me correct those mistakes. Sometimes he does it easily. Sometimes it's hard. But this is the process.
In other words, the place where we are is
perfect for where we need to be. It's perfect for where we need to be. Anytime you learn how to turn it off, that would be appreciated.
Yeah.
Ira has a new phone, so we're going to forgive him not knowing how to do that yet.
I was going to quiet it.
Understand. Are there any other questions? So I was thinking we'd go on to the next section, but I think there's a lot of material that we've gone over today, and it takes time to absorb it. So I'm going to call the class for tonight, and we'll pick up next week with section 8D, or class 8D. Any other questions? I bid everyone shalom. We will have our Zohar class at 7 o'clock West Coast time, and then we'll count the Omer at 8:30. And tomorrow being Friday, we will count at 8:30 as well. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
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 Shalom.